It is clear from the Bible that it has always been God's desire to dwell with his people. You know, from Genesis and Adam and Eve in the garden all the way to Revelation, the new heaven and new earth, it has always been God's desire to dwell with his people. Yes, in Genesis it says that God created man to have dominion over the earth, but God did not just create man and then left him on the earth and you know, God just left and started doing something else. But instead, after God created man, he had constant communion with him. He comes and meet with him. And we can see that clearly in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Now what happens was that Adam and Eve were deceived by the serpent, and they actually disobeyed God by eating the fruit that God says you're not supposed to eat. And then this is what happened. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. Verse 8 is important because it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So, you know, it seems that this constant fellowship or constant communion between God and Adam and Eve is not just some random or once-in-a-lifetime event, but it seems that it's a natural thing that God just, you know, walk among the leaves, and then he comes and meets up with Adam and Eve. But on this day, something different happened, because Adam and Eve found out that they were finite beings, and they have disobeyed God's command, and sin came into the world. So it has always been God's desire to have fellowship and communion with human beings. It's always been his desire to be able to live among human beings. If we jump, you know, a few hundred years into the future from Genesis, then we can see that when God told Moses to set up the tabernacle, it has been his desire. It shows his desire that he wants to live among the Jewish nation, the nation that he chose, the nation that he loved and he chose, and he wants, you know, this nation to be the example to the rest of the world of what it means to be a nation under God, a nation that loves God, a nation that God loves. So let's go to Exodus 25, and we can see that after God saved the Israelites out of the Egyptian bondage, and then on the way God, you know, met with Moses and started telling him how to set up laws and rules and regulations. And in Exodus chapter 25 verse 8, this is what God says to Moses: "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." So you know, it's clear that when Moses, you know, received commandment from God of, you know, all the rules and regulations, and Exodus is a book to, you know, if you want to see all the rules and regulations, you can just turn to Exodus and start reading, and you can see there are many things that God commands Moses to do. But you can see in his heart, you know, what's desire in Exodus 25 verse 8, where God desires to dwell among his people. That's why he wants Moses to create a tabernacle, so that, you know, he can physically be with his people through the tabernacle. So in Exodus 25 verse 8, it says, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." Verse 9, "According to all that I show you, that is the pattern of a tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishing, just so you shall make it." And then he goes on and tells him how to make the ark of the tabernacle and all those table of showbread and everything that involves the tabernacle. God needed to do that because he wants to show a distinction between what's holy and what's sacred and what's not, what's holy unto God and what's, you know, just the normal things that are, you know, worldly or profane. Because, you know, what happened in Genesis, where sin came into the world, and there's a distinction between the holy and the profane, the holy and things that are unholy, the holy things that belongs to God that can have a pure and unhindered fellowship with God, and those that are that belong to the world, to the earth, and those that, you know, later on in the New Testament, you can see that God says, you know, the things that are unseen are eternal, and things that are seen, meaning the material things, you know, the things that we can touch, things that we can see, hear, smell, that belongs to this world, is actually temporary. But we can see that it's God's heart, that He desires to dwell among His people, whether it's with Adam, or whether it's with the nation of Israel in the wilderness, and even after the nation of Israel, you know, settled within their promised land, and many years passed by, and then King David came and decided that, you know, thought in his heart that, hey, I live in a beautiful palace, you know, made of, you know, costly wood and gold and stuff, and yet, you know, the God, creator of the universe, and, you know, quote unquote, live in a tabernacle, sort of like in a tent. So in David's heart, he wanted to create a beautiful place where the dwelling of God, you know, can be seen. And, you know, God came and you know, he said he liked David's heart. And however, you know, it's going to be Solomon, David's son, who made or who finishes the temple. So if we jump down to 1 Kings, you know, we're jumping through a lot of, you know, years here, a lot of history of the nation of Israel. But in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 11 to 13, where God is talking to Solomon, King Solomon, about the temple that Solomon is building. Then the word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, this is 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 12, concerning this temple which you are building, if you walk in my statutes, execute my judgment, keep all my commandments, and walk in them, then I will perform my word with you, which I spoke to your father David. Verse 13, and I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will not forsake my people Israel. So you can see it's God's heart, whether it's with Adam, whether it's with Moses in the tabernacle, in the wilderness, or whether it's with King Solomon and all the rest of the kings, with the holy temple, it's always God's desire that He wants to dwell with His people. He wants to be with His people. Of course, there's, you know, the need for righteousness, because, you know, if there's unrighteousness in the presence of God, unrighteousness cannot live and cannot survive. Unrighteousness will be destroyed in the presence of a righteous God. But, you know, throughout the whole Old Testament, we can see that, you know, God's desire is to be with the nation of Israel, or to be with the people that He has chosen. And if we jump to the New Testament, we can see that this takes on an even more personal form in the person of Jesus, the Messiah Himself. Where if we jump to John chapter 1, verse 14, where it says, and the Word became flesh, John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Once again, there's the word dwell, you know, or He dwelt among us. So in the Old Testament, you know, the dwelling place of God is either through the tabernacle or through the temple. But in the New Testament, you know, it's still God's desire that He wants to dwell with His people. But this time, it becomes even more personal, where the Word, God Himself, becomes flesh and decided to dwell among us and to be with us, so that, you know, we can see His glory, we can experience Him. In fact, one of the names of Jesus is actually Emmanuel, meaning God with us. If we turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it's quoting actually a verse from Isaiah, I believe, yes. And it says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So you can see that Jesus is actually a fulfillment of the desire of God Himself, where he always wants to dwell with His people. He wants to be with His people. He wants to be among His people. I'm actually going through this very fast, from, you know, from the Old Testament all the way, jumping through all the way through the time of Jesus. I'm doing this. I just want to show you that it's always been God's desire that He wants to dwell with His people. It's not something new. It's not something different. But why the reason I'm going through this very fast is because I want to go to our time frame. I want to reach to the current time frame in 2007, where we no longer have, you know, the tabernacle with us. We no longer have the beautiful temple, the complete beautiful temple with us, and we no longer have Jesus in the flesh with us. However, you know, God still, he has not forsaken his desire to dwell among his people. In fact, he has given us an even greater way to be with him. And we can actually turn to John 14 and see the things that we can experience now. No longer through tabernacles, no longer through temples, no longer through the physical presence of Christ. But Jesus himself said it is actually better that he returned to the Father, because the Father is greater than him. I am actually quoting John chapter 14, verse 28, where Jesus himself says, "You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I." So we can see that throughout history there are different ways that God dwells with his people. And I went through it very fast from the Old Testament, from Adam, time of Adam, through time of Moses in the tabernacle, through the time of King Solomon, the kings, and with the temple, and all the way to through the first four Gospels of the New Testament, where Jesus is here in the flesh. But I want to focus on this part, where basically that started from after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, all the way till to the end of times, where God comes and dwell with his people in another way, through the New Jerusalem, through the as the reigning king. But that's for the future, and I don't really want to focus on that, nor do I want to focus on the past in the Old Testament of the temples and tabernacles. But what I want to do is I want to focus, to stop here and just focus on what we have right now as believers in Jesus Christ. Now, those who believe in Jesus Christ are not left as orphans. Let's go read John chapter 14 from 15 to 18, where this is what Jesus says: "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells," once again, the world dwells "with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." So we can see that in this current time, God still desires to dwell with his people. However, it has taken a different form. It's not in the form of tabernacles. It's not in the form of temples. It's not even in the form of the physical presence of Jesus, the Messiah. However, it's in the form of the Holy Spirit, where it says in John chapter 14, verse 17, where Jesus himself says that it's the Spirit of truth will dwell within us. The Spirit of truth is not discernible by those who do not believe in Jesus Christ. Only those who know him, and then only those who receive him, can experience him. That's why Jesus says, the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So in the New Testament age, from between now and the end of times, this is how God decides to dwell with his people, that he wants to dwell with all Christians, no matter whether you're here in the United States, whether you're all the way in Africa, or in Asia, or any place. If you are a Christian, then the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And because the Holy Spirit dwells in you, it means that God is fulfilling his desire to be among his people. It has always been, once again, I want to repeat that, it has always been God's desire to dwell among his people, but he does it in different ways through different times. In this current time, he doesn't do it through tabernacles. He doesn't necessarily do it through temples or churches, and he doesn't do it through the physical presence of the Savior Jesus Christ, but he does it through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And he wants us to become the temple, where his a holy temple, so that his Spirit can dwell in us and do mighty works in us and through us. And if we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 16, this is what it says. Actually, let me just jump a few verses up in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14. God says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has the believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. So in the current age, you know, between the resurrection of Christ to the end of time, where in Revelations we can see that, that God actually chooses another way or another form of dwelling with his people. It's through the new temple, the new Jerusalem. And within the new Jerusalem, there's the temple and God himself dwells. But in this current time, in the time frame that we are living right now, God chooses to dwell among his people through the Holy Spirit. And he chooses to do so through individuals, that you know, we are the temple of the living God. We individually are a temple of God because the Holy Spirit lives within us, and we corporately as the church, universal as the church, because each individual have the, you know, the fullness of Holy Spirit within them, that as we come together, you know, it's a sort of like a bigger building where the temple of God, temple of the living God, can be manifested. So why am I making such a big deal out of this? Why am I, going through, through the Old Testament and through and the New Testament, trying to show that it's God's desire to dwell with his people? It's because, for us to know that we as Christians, as believers, we have a much higher function than what many of us think. It's not just, to do good things and to sort of like be a good person, but instead there's a higher call, which is, to be a friends with God, to experience what it means to be, have a love, intimate relationship with him. We Christians are actually fulfilling the desire of God by being his friend, by just, him wanting to be with us, and because, through the Holy Spirit, he can do so. He can fulfill that desire of his through us by being with us. And likewise, we could also, experience a fulfillment and a joy and a peace, all the fruit of the Holy Spirit found in Galatians, when we have a relationship with him, when we build intimacy with him, when we commune with him. That has always been God's heart. That has always been God's desire. He wants to dwell with his people, and in this current age and in this current time, he chooses to do so through his Holy Spirit. And the only way for us to receive the Holy Spirit, to have the Holy Spirit within us, is that when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. So right now, I just want to put out a challenge to anyone that's listening to this, is that if you have never accepted what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, if you have never had a relationship with God, and you want to and you desire to, that you will come and that you would come and taste and see that the Lord is good. This is actually a quote from Psalm 34, verse 8, where it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." So if you have never had that wonderful experience, I ask you to just come and receive him, and receive what Jesus has done for us by exchanging our sin, our mistakes, and our bad living for his righteousness. That's what Jesus did on the cross, where he exchanged his righteous living with the penalty for our mistakes, which is death, and that's what happened on the cross. There's an exchanging of his righteousness to us, and then our sins are put upon him, and then he experienced the death that we all deserve. And that's basically the good news of God, and the good news found in the Bible, where God says that, you know, if we come and just believe and accept what Jesus has done on the cross for us, that we can experience the wonderful blessings of knowing Him. We can experience Him. We can enjoy this wonderful God who desires to dwell with us, who desires to just, you know, be with His people and for His people to enjoy Him and just to experience Him. You know, oh, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. That's God's call, and you know, I just want to extend it to anyone who has never experienced God before, to do so and just come to God. Also, for those who are Christians and you have already tasted and you have already experienced the grace of God, and for us to just go even deeper into God. You know, we haven't yet experienced all the fullness of God, you know, because God is eternal. And you know, each and every day, in fact, each and every second, we can know more of His goodness and more of His love. And let us just go and pursue Him deeper, and let us just go and love Him deeper. Because in doing so, not only are we fulfilling the deep call within our hearts and within our spirits, but we are also touching His heart and in a sense fulfilling His desire, because He has always desired. To dwell with His people, and in this day and age, He does so through the Holy Spirit. So let's close this time with prayer. Lord, I thank You for just in the Bible that You taught us and You showed us that it has always been Your desire that You want to dwell with Your people. And Lord, right now, in this day and age, You chose to dwell with us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. So Lord, I'm asking, Lord, thank You for reminding us this truth, and I'm asking that more of Your presence and that Your Holy Spirit will be experienced by all the Christians who have accepted You as our Lord and Savior, who has accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That you know, right now, as we listen to You, Lord, and listen to Your word, spoken, Lord, that Your presence, Your Holy Spirit will just confirm the word, and not only confirm it, but just let them experience Your love and Your presence with Your people. Thank You, Lord. And for those who have never experienced so, Lord, I ask that You will just touch them, Lord, and that as they cry out to You, as they call out to You and say, Lord, we confess that, you know, we have never experienced You before, but right now we want to, that, Lord, You will touch their heart, and Lord, and let them experience that You are that wonderful God, that You are that great God, and You desire to dwell with them. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.